This is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. And today we pay another visit to the pavement dwellers of Apna Street in the company of Julian Crandall Hollick. Although our decision to broadcast this installment of our Apna Street series was made before we received word of the death Friday of Mother Teresa, it's remarkably appropriate. The Saint of the Gutters had no direct connection to these pavement dwellers, but they were the people she cared about most, the poorest of the poor. Through the squalor, she saw worth and recognized dignity in their struggle to get what most of us take for granted. Clean drinking water, access to medicine, refrigeration. On the street, the simple necessities become complicated problems. Take the basic act of going to the bathroom. In rural India, people still urinate and defecate in the fields before dawn. In the city slums, adults and children use open ditches that eventually drain into the groundwater. But on the pavement in Baikala, there are no ditches or open sewers. So what are the options? Julian Crandall Hollick found a few surprising ones in A Place to Go.
New Year's Day was very, very hot. Maybe winter was already over. Anyway, my wife Martine came back with a headache from taking too many photos in too much sun. But before she conked out, she gave me one piece of advice. If you're free tomorrow, get down to Peter Mellor Road before it's too late and ask to go with Samina. You'll be in for a big surprise. And with that, she switched off and went fast asleep.
So here I am next morning with Samina and Shekhar in rush hour in a taxi en route from Baikala to downtown and Peter Mellor Road to see what the hell she's talking about. And getting a hefty dose of carbon monoxide in the process. Bombay's always been a great natural harbour. It's the gateway, even today, for most of India's exports and imports. Its railways fan out north, south and east. The inner shore of Bombay Island is basically docks, hidden from the public gaze by high stone walls. And behind those walls runs Peter Mellor Road. Docks on one side, hundreds of pavement dwellings on the other.
You want some money? Shekhar, I've got something.
We come to a halt next to a small building site and tumble out. Fast asleep in the shade are two street kids. Samina kicks them awake and upright with her bare feet. What do you mean? You just got here. I told you to get everything ready. Water, cement, everything. Oh, boys, I just give up. Doesn't matter how many times I tell you, you're just too thick to understand. Now get a move on. Yesterday's dried up cement has to be knocked out of today's buckets. Sanjay, one of the street kids, starts shoveling sand. While Samina cleans cement off the bottom of a bricklayer's trowel. I still have no idea what they're building. So Shekhar takes me inside, and the penny drops.
So these are the individual...
For men, only for the men.
Yeah.
The $2 for the men.
Yeah.
And $2 for the women. In the center, there is a tank, water tank.
These are indeed toilets. Four toilets. The first ever public toilets just for pavement dwellers. Right here, opposite the docks, on noisy Peter Mellor Road. They're designed and built by the pavement dwellers themselves with additional muscle power from the street kids.
And all the water's coming from the municipality.
Yeah, and the municipality government.
And what's more, the city is putting up the money. Of course, there's a little problem of logic here. With one hand, the city demolishes the huts of the pavement dwellers. With the other, it funds them to build permanent public toilets. Now, there are lots of so-called public toilets in Bombay and other Indian cities. The best known are the Sulab toilets that turn human waste into fertilizer. But they're expensive to build. 40,000 rupees a toilet. Each toilet here costs just 4,000 rupees. Why the difference? Simple. Because the pavement dwellers put in the sweat equity themselves, and they came up with the basic design themselves. Then they got Makran the architect to translate those ideas into official blueprints, submitted them to Mr. Pai, the city engineer. And surprise, surprise, they were given the funds to show what they could do. Samina is in a bad mood. One of the wooden frames for the ceiling slabs, they call them ladis, is bent. She tells Sanjay and Vijay to shape up or else. And Samina has a vivid imagination. Or else the insects will breed inside your mouth. Vijay shovels the concrete into the mould. It's a 3-foot-square wooden frame held off the ground on 4 bricks. Stretched loosely across the frame, with plenty of give in it, is a piece of thick muslin. Sanjay fills the muslin with wet, heavy cement. It sags till the muslin is bulging. Samina then smooths the surface flat, wipes off the excess with a flat board. It'll take a day to harden and another day to lift onto the steel crossbeams the boys hoisted yesterday. Simple. Something the women of Maila Milan are justly proud of.
What? Bathroom. Yeah. Bathing room for the women's.
2 bathrooms?
Yeah. We're planning to do on the left-hand side.
What are you going to do there?
Bathroom.
A bathroom?
Bathroom.
Yeah.
Most of the women don't have the bath displays.
So they can wash there?
Yeah. They can come and...
No mechanical flush, no water pressure to go wrong. Just a big tank of fresh water. You take your hand bucket and you flush after you go. Uses less than half the water of a normal flush toilet. The plan is to charge everyone 25 paisa a visit and to use the money to pay for its maintenance by some of the street kids who'll sleep on the flat roof. There are a couple of cubicles where the women can wash themselves in private and another space to wash clothes. And a deep trench for little kids to squat over that hooks up to the big people's sewer. And that's the only fly in the ointment, the sewer connection. The city will do it, but when, nobody knows. The nearest sewer line is 200 yards back down the road. It'll cost a fortune because this road surface is poured concrete, designed to withstand the constant pounding of the heavy trucks that service the docks. Next day, Samina, Shanaz, Lakshmi and the rest of the women were busy applying henna to Martin's hair. So I popped Lakshmi what to me seemed an obvious question. If you're building a toilet for the pavement dwellers on Pidamela Road, why don't you build one for yourselves right here in Baikla? Oh God, I'd really pressed Lakshmi's hot button.
Of course we want proper toilets, but we don't want to stay here. If we build a toilet over here, next thing they'll be saying is, now put a tap here. And the minute you put a tap here, then we don't want to move. We don't want to stay on this pavement. We want to move out of here as soon as possible. So big deal. If we've suffered all these difficulties for so long, we can suffer it a little while longer until we move.
By now, I'm curious, where do the women go? So I walk down Apna Jopadpati to talk to Rehmat.
Where do you go for the toilet here? Do you go to somebody's house or do you go to a public toilet or whatever?
संडास है नाके भी, रोड क्रॉस करके जाना पड़ता फूल के नीचे, आदमी का एक रुपया औरत का 50 पैसे.
I don't go to somebody's house or on the roadside, but there's a municipal toilet across the road where I go, and for men they charge 1 rupee, and for women they charge 50 paise.
नहीं उतना साफ नहीं, मतलब साफ करके जाता है सुबह.
It's not very clean, but compared to other toilets, it's clean.
10 jan का 10 सुबह जाता है.
Many of Bombay's public toilets are a disgrace, but they're not run by the users. They've been turned over to sander swallows.
हाँ बच्चों का भी.
An unscrupulous sander swallow could make a ton of money out of the need to go.
Yeah, every day I spend 5 rupees per day because I have 10 people in my family, and even for children they charge 50 paise. And sometimes if they use the toilet again in the afternoon, I have to shell out another 50 paise. If they have a diarrhea, then every time they go, we have to pay for, you know, that many times.
क्योंकि घरों में रहेंगे सब अपने आप घरों में रहेंगे.
We do some quick calculations. That comes to over 200 rupees a month, about 10% of the average household income. So if you or I were designing low-income housing to rehouse pavement dwellers, it would seem to make a whole lot of sense if every house or apartment had its own toilet. It would save them lots of money and would cut down on disease. It's a few weeks later, 11 in the morning in Dharavi, the huge and wonderfully vibrant slum that lies at the top of Bombay Island. I'm visiting low-income apartments built with government money to resettle some of Dharavi's half-million residents.
Is this the one that Chelya wants us to go to? Is this the one you want us to go to? No.
By mistake, I wander into the 15x12 room where Kusum Hari Patel, Shobha Balgro and 14 others live. I actually want to go to the toilet, but Kusum is cleaning it with her jaru or hand broom.
Do you like having it inside the house, or would you prefer it to be outside?
I would prefer it outside.
Why?
Now, why would Kusum not want a toilet inside a house?
Because, you know, then the living space is reduced and the whole room stinks because of the toilet inside. So I would prefer it if it's outside.
Strike one. There's worse to come.
Water pressure's very low.
Yeah. Kusum reaches in and turns on the water tap.
In fact, the water's pressure has already gone up after 10 seconds.
Arda tas pani.
The water comes only in the morning, only for half an hour. And we have to fill it up as much as we can.
I mean, that lasted just all of 5 seconds, Kusum. And then the water stopped.
Strike two. And we're on the first floor. Imagine what it must be like on the fifth floor. And then the arguments against start coming thick and fast. Strike three. The toilet takes up too much valuable space.
We are 15 to 16 people in the house, and there is not enough space for us to sleep in this house. So all the boys and the men and younger children, they sleep outside. And we would prefer that the government should build some toilets outside, but earlier, before the government built these houses where we were living, we had much bigger spaces. It's like 3 times the size of this room, and we used to have enough space. But when we moved into the pakka construction built by the government, the space has been reduced. And we were used to going outside for toilets.
Okay, my last argument. Surely a modern toilet inside the home is more sanitary. It's better for everyone's health.
So we don't have good flushing facility. So all the time the bathroom stinks and we have to sit and next to it and eat also. We don't think it's very good for our health also, but we have no other alternative.
Back in Baikla, I thought I'd better go and see Remat again. Where do the women of Mile and Milan want the toilet when they finally move into a Paka home of their own? And blow me down if Remat didn't come up with a fifth reason why they don't want toilets inside their houses.
I would prefer toilets to be outside my home, because if they build toilets inside the homes, then we won't be able to meet other people. When we go for toilets, we socialize, we meet other people, we talk to them. So we would prefer toilets to be outside and not in the house. And if they could organize for 10 households, one toilet, that would be better.
This is what makes sense for Remat and the other pavement dwellers. And of course, there's also pride of ownership. They can build the toilets themselves. For Indian and Western development people, and I can tell you because I've asked the question and I've heard the same answer many times, well, for these decent and well-intentioned people, it comes as a shock to discover the poor don't share their dream or necessarily all their values. A toilet in every house is simply not a priority, nor is it something they even want. I'm Julian Crandall-Hollick in Mumbai.
This is NPR's Weekend Edition, produced by Robert Maleski, directed by Ned Wharton, and edited by Greg Smith, with production help from Catherine Maddox, Van Williamson, David Rector, Marta Haywood, and Jim Lesher. Thanks also this week to ABC News and the BBC. Our technical director is Andrea Jackson-Gewurz, with audio technicians Soraya Mohammed, Susan Klein, Aria McAllisher, Renee Pringle, Andy Rosenberg, and Sean Fox. Our theme music was written by BJ Lederman, with additional music from Steph Scajari. I'm Leanne Hansen.